Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we help CEOs build teams to run more of the business with them and not through them. Today, we have the conversation all around what to measure in your business, because if you don't know what to measure, people are assuming what is important. And so the right measures drives performance. Joining me today, she is the CEO of Stackpak. They are a vendor and AI management platform built for fast-growing finance teams. Welcome, Sarah Wyman.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm glad that you can join and looking forward to diving in. So I'm going to start off with this first question.
Okay.
There's a busy leader out there, and this person has stopped to listen to this podcast.
Okay.
What do you hope could change in their life when they digest and think about what you're about to tell them?
Well, I think I would hope that they leave this conversation with, I think, the permission to simplify as they think
I
about,
love that.
as
I'm
they
like,
think about
ooh,
their
relief.
That's right. And then I'd say also, just to push it a bit further, maybe a bit of discomfort around what they're measuring and to rethink it a little bit. So that would be my goal. I think that most leaders I talk to, they're just drowning in dashboards.
Yeah.
And we all have more data than ever. And somehow we feel less clear than ever.
Yeah.
And there's like this false belief that, you know, more measurement equals more control, and it often doesn't, and it creates more noise. And so I think there's a lot that we can do and a lot that we can simplify.
Oh, I'm so excited. So tell me, for the audience, more about what you do and what excites you about it today.
Yeah. So, founder and CEO of Stackpak, we build vendor and contract management solutions specifically for the AI era. And so the short version of this is that really every company is adopting AI tools and software right now at a pretty remarkable pace. But the finance function has almost no infrastructure to see it, to govern it, to forecast it. And so we're building that along with managing not only AI, but also the rest of OpEx. So software, services, contractors, ad spend, rent, you name it. And what's really interesting about the problem is that, you know, AI spend doesn't behave like any cost category that we've seen before, right? It's not headcount. It's not like a fixed cost per seat. It's not traditional software. So it doesn't like scale linearly with users. And so, you know, token costs are variable. They're tied to how people work. They show up in gross margin, and just in a very different way. And so what excites me is that we're just watching this brand new category be born in real time. And I think, you know, every leader knows it's coming. They can feel it, but most of them really don't have a clear number for what they're spending on it or what they're actually getting out of it. And so, yeah, we're building the system of record for that, and then taking it further and answering, helping them answer like, okay, well, how many people do we need, or, you know, how much to compute do we need, and helping them look at the all-in cost in a very different way. Now that agents, you know, you don't need to budget for salary or benefits for agents, but now for employees, you do need to budget tokens. So we're at the forefront of figuring that out, and I feel very lucky.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like the passion that you have come through is going to be like, okay, she's going to solve her problems. It's going to be okay.
Someone's got to do it, right?
Someone's going to do it. And you're in there. You're in their numbers. You're looking at the numbers. And going back to what you're saying, how is all of it, what we're doing, making an impact? And how do we measure that? So what the companies that you're working with, why is it that it's so hard to measure? Why is it such a struggle to define those metrics?
Yeah. It's a good question. I think it all comes down to like these themes of like it's just hard, right? It's really hard to measure. And so I think there's like three things I guess I'll call out. One is that we typically choose to measure what's really easy to count, right? Like what is visible, and then there's activity versus output, right? And so we sometimes focus on like, oh, the number of calls that we made or the emails that we sent or features we shipped, and it feels really good because the numbers are going up and there's progress. But it doesn't tell you if it's actually working. So we shy away from output because it's just harder to track. So I think that's
Or you mean
first.
like activity? You shy away from activity,
We
or
lean towards activity because that's
you lean toward
easier.
to track?
But the output of then doing attribution, and I'll use like sales calls as an example or marketing output, it's really hard to go in and say, okay, we did all this work. Did it actually lead to revenue, for example? So output's harder to track in a pretty big way.
In a big way, or like the direct connection of
Yes.
what actually made that input, made the increase.
That's right.
So you said it's a struggle because we tend to track what is easier, what is visible, and it's just hard because there's no direct connection of what the activity, how the activity drives the output.
Yes. And I think that will get easier with AI and all these platforms are building MCPs, so you can tag it all together. But again, you still need to tie it somehow, right? Like they all need to have the same IDs. Like it's not easy. And so you got to put the work in to get that all in place. So that's kind of the first thing. I think the second thing I run into, I feel this so deeply, is that it's really scary to set metrics, right? And I think if you commit to it publicly and then you miss it, that's like very real accountability. And
So is that why companies don't do it? Or
I
what do
think
you think?
it's easier to accountability is scary and so is failure. Right? So I think sometimes it's they'll set metrics, but they're like kind of vague on purpose, right? And so keep goals a little fuzzy, targets maybe are ranges, and then you never are actually completely wrong. So it's like a form, I guess I'd call it self-protection, and all teams do it. I've done it myself. I have to catch myself. So that's a big one as well.
Yeah, I agree. It is scary. It's invisible, and the accountability, the failure is it's blown up or everybody can see it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we also find that like once you, we found this, like once you set a metric, people almost then become too focused on that metric, right? Where it's like, okay, let's use an example. We want our NPS score, our customer satisfaction score to be X. And so then the human nature is to then like do small things to make sure that number's higher. So they'll send out the customer survey at the peak of customer happiness, right? Like, or like they'll maybe like impact the rest of the business to get like that top line number that they're looking for. And so that's a big thing as well. And I think it's important there for there to be checks and balances in these metrics because you may get some of the wrong behavior and it's impacting the metric you want, but maybe not the big macro metric that you care about. So again, this is hard. You have to
Interesting.
constantly be changing and layering metrics and
Like, what is the right metric?
yes.
What is the right metric? And how does this all impact the business? So that is a struggle. And so what, how have you seen where companies are doing it right?
Yeah, it's I think a really important thing is realizing that your metrics are going to change over time. And so we do them quarterly. I don't, we're a small company. We can do that. We obviously have annual goals, but we reset them quarterly because what got you here is not necessarily what's going to get you to where you need to go. And I think that's the most important thing is being okay with that flexibility and having that be part of the culture, as well as part of the culture of being like, sometimes we're going to, again, back to that second point around, being public with the metric you're setting, a culture of, hey, we're going to be honest about where we land. And then if we fail, we're going to look back and we're going to retro it and figure out what we did wrong. So I say those are some examples. I'm sure there's a lot of other ones, but
But that, I think you have to start somewhere and then know that it can evolve and you're learning every step of the way. I think that's where it could be, but it could be Yeah. It could be help but beneficial, but also, like you said, can also drive other behaviors. But at the same
Yes.
time, if we like have the lens of this is what we're learning, this is where the baseline is, and then how do we continue to improve it?
That's right. Yeah. At the very least, yeah, baseline, and then you can switch. But again, not focusing on just activity, it has to be like full on, like the whole attribution all the way down.
So we measure activity, and then you also measure the business.
Yes.
How it ties, yeah. And is there a way that your platform, what is your platform? How do you guys do that with your clients?
We do, I think, kind of constantly right now. So, a perfect example here is companies will tell us that they have like great AI adoption. Woohoo! 80% of our teams using Copilot. We rolled out Claude to everyone. But then you actually look at how that's impacting their gross margin, and it's quietly impacting everything. Again, that's an activity metric like adoption. That looks great, but then actual impact, which is how is it impacting the economics of our business, like nobody's watching, right? So that's
Nobody's
where
watching it.
it's kind of like vanity metrics, I guess,
Yeah,
versus like clarity metrics, I guess. And so really the thing that we're encouraging our customers to do is say, okay, is this working? Right? And kind of look at that whole piece.
Yeah, so tie it back. The vanity metrics feels good in the moment, but then how is this really
Feels really good.
impacting the business? Yeah, so then measuring both. It's okay to look at the what is the activity, but and because then you can learn, right? And maybe there's the activities that are, yeah, we need to adjust or change or eliminate.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
I
if we
think
don't have an idea of the activity metric, then but then does it become, when does it become too many metric?
yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I think it's, yeah, that's a great question. It's kind of like making sure that there's like the top line. You need to have that, you need to know that output that you're trying to drive, and then figure out what goes up from there. Like the actions that get you to the outcome. To your point, it can be maybe you're reporting out only on the output, not on, the individual actions that we did to get us here. So I think that's important. I think the other thing that's important is just that I've seen people get stuck on is like things will look good in the metrics, so they don't question them. Or maybe, it's really important to constantly be like gut checking of do these even make sense? Like directionally, are they making the right set? And setting a culture of like pushing in on them and questioning and that being completely okay, so that we get to the right answer sooner rather than later.
Sooner rather than later. And how often do you meet with your clients to get that information? Is because sometimes, like you said, if it's too
That's a good
late,
point.
then it's already down the rabbit hole and it's harder to save. It's like that balance between, right, the like allowing the activity to take fruition and see what the outcome is, but then also not go, having it go too far. So how often do you meet and to kind of touch base, get a gut check?
It's a great question. So everything that we try to do is more of like a triage center. So we will let you know when things immediately start looking bad. So
Oh,
let's say
nice,
you have
nice.
a, yeah, if you have a big spend increase on a vendor, AI vendor that we weren't expecting, you're going to hear about it. If you have seats at the end of the month that you had purchased, let's say you purchased 50 and only 35 are being used, we're going to let you know as soon as we can, which is the end of that month. So it's kind of constant. And then we do roll-ups as well. And then we meet with
Got
our
it.
quarters, of course. We meet with them every quarter, our customers. But
Got
it's
it.
all about real time now, right? Because 30 days later is too late to
It's too
act.
late.
Yeah. So it's all about real time. But to your point, that can get really noisy. And so we are dealing with that ourselves of how do we roll this up and not completely overwhelm. And I think that's what's neat about this whole world is pretty soon agents and AI is going to be able to take care of the low-hanging fruit. And then we're really just alerting you on the really high-level important things that we need your eyes on.
Nice. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. I think it's so important and so helpful. And yeah, to have that, to have your platform, to have you as the third eye, second eye on
That's
this,
a good
all
way
the
to think about it. Yeah.
finances. And then letting me know, alerting me when things are a red flag and alerting me if, yeah, we need to take a deeper look at something. Because
Yeah.
there's so much going on. There's so many other things that we're thinking about. as
Well,
the
I think
CEO or leadership team.
every team is so understaffed right now too. I think I'm amazed that I go to these companies and I'm like, oh, how big is your team? And you're like shocked at the size of these teams somewhere.
So I'm going to end with this last question. We're going to think about going to communication. So we're thinking about metrics and how it's important to define the metrics, because if we don't define it, people might be doing things that are not important. But defining and also having the right metrics, right, to that lead to outcome. So what do you think would happen if we had something similar with regard to communication? Because communication, I think most people just have it, they think about it as a conversation. It's really not measured. How is our communication, the right communication, being measured so that we know that we're getting the right outcomes? So there's more standards around communication. Also, like if there's a standard around how do we hold each other accountable, if there's a standard on how do we have crucial conversations, like we all create these standards so that everybody knows how to do it in the company, what would be possible? What impact do you think that could make?
Yeah, oh my God, I think it could be huge. Definitely much faster decision making. And I think this is probably a place that most companies have underinvested in. So, like, yeah, to your point, I think most companies treat communication like a series of conversations, and those happen in all these different channels. And that works when things are like good and calm and the world's rosy. But then when the company starts, anything at the company's, goes under stress, whether that's a bad quarter or a reorg or whatever it is, I think that those informal channels really break down and people, revert to assumptions and rumor mills and all that stuff. And so, definitely a system in place, I think is really helpful to hold everything when everything's under pressure. The way we've started to think about it, and I wouldn't say we're the best at this yet, but is first starting to like diagnose. So I think like step one is, find and define the purpose of each channel, right? So like Slack, we use for coordination, right? Meetings, we make
Oh,
decisions,
good.
right?
Oh, good. You guys define that. That's
Well, we're starting,
great.
but and like, we use documents and Google Doc for knowledge, and for sharing information, right? So I think just even knowing that is probably a great first step.
It's so great because then it's not, you don't have to guess where did I get that information from? Where is it? Especially after you have it for a long time as a part of your culture.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then kind of figuring out, I think, optimizing how that information flows then, right? Which is which information goes where, with the whole goal of reducing, the number of times that someone has to ask a question. Like, as long as everyone knows where a thing is, that's really like all you can ask for. And then I'd say you mentioned kind of decision making. I think we confuse decisions from discussion. And so being really clear that like a discussion we are exploring, and a decision is like we've made this commitment and it is now a commitment.
Yes,
Right? And
sometimes
so
people get those confused. I've been there. It's like, no. That was just a discussion. That was just a
yes.
brainstorm, not a
Right.
decision. Or someone's nodding and you think, okay, no, we've made a decision, and they're just like, no, I'm just
Right. Right.
nodding.
And so yeah, I think the whole thing is like, how do you build institutional memory and then making sure that people can find it? And then ultimately, obviously, alignment is the number one goal. And then again, all this ties back to our conversation on metrics, obviously. And so making sure that your metrics are also, it's very clear where they live and where we're going to go over them. And for us, that's our all hands meeting that we have every week. But every company is kind of set up differently on how they do that. And I think I don't do this well, but I think I'd say the best thing you can do is make them public and make them so focused. This is back to the metrics, making them so focused and short, one to three goals max. One is fine, two is fine, three is fine, more than that, not fine. And making sure that everyone
Three
knows
goals,
them.
like company goals.
Yeah, I think if they should ladder up at max to three, everyone
I
can remember
agree.
them and knows their marching. Which one am I working on, or multiple ones am I working on?
I agree too. I think anything more than three is too much. I love it. I love it.
That's
So
how we're thinking
there's
about it.
a fast growing finance team looking to have your support. What, how can they find you?
Yeah, you can find us at our websites. It's stackpack.ai. You can also always find me on LinkedIn. And again, it's Sarah Wyman.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah, for the conversation around metrics and why it's important to how it helps people stay focused, accountable, and helps them make better decisions.
Yes, thanks for having
It
me.
was fun. Thank you
Yeah.
so much. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Linda.
Yeah, and thank you, listeners, for being here. And remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate, communicate what matters, communicate it consistently so your people move together. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparks something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks, we're not getting the results that we want, I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.